Praise the Lord. Got to get set up here with some sense. Okay. It's always good to open my Bible when I'm going to preach. All right, let's pray first of all. I know we have little time, but let's just fly through this and see what God can do in our hearts. Father, I thank you for the time to just be before your people, and I pray that you would work through me to work something in their hearts that would be beneficial and helpful in the way that you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, where can you open your Bible? Anywhere is good. You know, let's just do that. We have identities, each one of us, what we identify with. You know, Brianna, she goes and she has to have identification papers. Sometimes it's just paperwork. That doesn't really tell you much about who you are. There's identities on qualities about yourself. You know, you might expound on that. You might say you might describe yourself in a certain way. Or there might be identification that really is more like what's in your heart, you know, defines what you are inside. You know, there's a question. If you had to define yourself to somebody, you kind of think, what are they looking for? What's that group looking for in me? How about if you had to define yourself to yourself? You get a little more heartfelt, I think, exactly on presenting what's there. I realize that we kind of identify ourselves with certain things or certain, you know, we talk about identity nowadays and it's all this gender mess, you know. But I'm talking more about, who do you think of yourself as? I've realized over the years that because I did so much running, that's who I identify as. I still do. You know, if somebody puts on a TV and there's some runner on it, I'd be like, what? That would get my attention because I identify with something I've done so long and it's been so important to me. And in fact, it was so important to me in college, I made a vow to the Lord that I wouldn't race anymore. Okay? Because I didn't want it to become consuming to me. So you say, is it an addiction? Was I addicted to it? Am I taking the whole program because I was addicted to running? No, it was more like I was addicted to self because you see, running was something that gave me identity, okay? And we all have things that give us identity. And those things that give us identity, we got to watch out for those things, okay? I mean, we have interests, we have desires, things that we love to do, but we want to understand, is it really who we identify as? You know, let me give you an example. I had a girl that she was on the cross country team. She joined us probably seventh grade or eighth grader, and she said to me, "I want to be state champ." Well, to make a long story short, because the time is short, she did. But she had no talent. She came on the team and she'd finish the race like last, just you know, puking and not having much fun. But she said, "I want to be state champ." So she worked that year, and I don't even remember when the change happened, but at some point in her working as a runner, she got better and better until other coaches noticed her. In fact, we went to the state meet, and other coaches said to her, "You're going to have a good day today." It's like, what? They knew I had the state champ on my team. I didn't even know it because she was against other teams that had bigger schools, so that she was losing races against some of the big runners like that, but she was in Class C. And she did finish at top. And it was because she strove for masteries. Okay, we see those words, striving for masteries in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians, or in Corinthians, I'll just kind of be brief so we can get right to it. But striving for masteries is something that people sometimes have talent and they just easily do things. But when you don't have the talent and you strive for masteries, it kind of makes a picture. Paul was using the picture of the runner and how they strive for masteries, or the one that is a fighter, how they strive for masteries. It's something that we work towards. Okay? So what I want to do is give you something here about ID, identity, tonight. ID. And the title of my message is all about a description, an individual description, ID, okay? Now, if we look at a picture in the Bible, Joseph, he's a great example of a type of Christ. Joseph parallels a lot of the things that Christ was in offices and so on. And I want to look at him a little bit, very briefly, and I want to use him to show us that he is also a pattern for us to follow some examples in. In Titus, Paul tells Titus that in, I think it's 1:7 or 2:7, he says, to be a pattern to the believer. So he wants us to be patterns, and he also wants us to learn from the examples of Christ and the examples of the people that he put in the Bible, the ones that have things to share with us. So if we think about Joseph, let's think about some of the things that he did. He suffered a lot. He went through a lot of suffering. And we know from the scriptures, Romans chapter 5 is a good place, that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So patience is something that comes out of our suffering, and it produces a hope, and it goes even to the love of God, which is something that we can share with others. It produces a charity that comes out of us. Joseph is one that gives us hope also, because the scriptures say that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. All right, so we take these examples and we look at what they went through and what they endured, and we realize, that's for me. I can learn from that pattern, and we can follow some of the things that were done in the life of someone like Joseph. Now, Joseph, he was a dreamer. He was an interpretive dreamer. He had dreams. The first thing you think about Joseph when he was younger is he tells his brothers about this dream that he had. And that was, you know, a big deal to him. It's like, wow, this is amazing. And they were like, yeah, we're going to kill you. Yeah, they were. I think of Joseph as really a person that had a lot going for him. And yet, when you go to some place like Sight and Sound, they make him kind of a snivelly little, what? You know, I think he was really quite a manly man. Because of the things that went on in his life, the successes, the way that God made him prosper no matter what he did. You know, you think about him, he appears in the scriptures there in chapter 37, I believe it is, of Genesis. And there he's 17 years old, and he goes to his father. And he's kind of snitching on the brothers at this point, but his father sends him over to Shechem, I think it is, to check on the boys and see what's going on there. And so he was a person that was trustworthy. He was sent forth to do some work. He wasn't just a dreamer, he was a doer. But as a dreamer, he had his own dreams. And later on in his life, we see that as a dreamer, he could interpret the dreams of others. And God blessed him with an ability to look at the dreams that others had and realize that God was using them to get a message out. He was using that to portray something that was very important. And his own dreams, I don't know how he felt about his own dreams. Maybe he realized that his own dreams were something that were inspired by God too. I don't know. We don't know much about that from the scripture. But we do know that he had dreams and he interpreted them. So part of his identification was an interpretive dreamer. That's his ID. We would maybe think of him as a prophet. Prophet, one that can discern, a seer. Our time now, we don't do prophecy anymore. No. We have the complete scriptures. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, and ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Right? We've got the scriptures now. We don't do that prophecy stuff. We don't need that. But it also says in Revelation that God has made you with the spirit of prophecy. You have the spirit of the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when you testify about Jesus Christ and you're telling forth about that salvation and what he's going to do and what's going to happen in the future, you being a prophet in the sense of what the scriptures would allow us now to be. Right. So just as Joseph was a prophet and Jesus Christ, how about that? They say, who is this Jesus Christ in Matthew? And they say he's the prophet from Nazareth. Now, what did Jesus ever say back in those early days of his ministry where they would call him a prophet? I don't really know. I mean, he said a lot that we look at, of course, was prophecy. We know that, but what did they understand? But yet they call him a prophet. So we have Jesus Christ as the prophet, known as the prophet. We have Joseph showing us how he was prophetically telling forth things. And you know the story. I won't spend a lot of time here going about the different things that he did with the dreams, with the Pharaoh or king they call him, with the baker and the cupbearer, different dreams that they had, and he helped interpret and so on, and things came to pass. But he was not just a dreamer. He was also a doer. You know, the scriptures talk about the proud doer. People sometimes preach as if the proud doer is a good thing, but pride is never, never used in the Bible as a good thing.
Right.
And even that proud doer, you'll see later on, I think it's 95 in Psalms, it's like, yeah, there's a reward for them, all right.
Yep.
So the proud doer, no, but Joseph, he wasn't a proud doer. He was, I got it, it's in my mind. He was a doer that was impeccable. Can you think of anything wrong that Joseph ever did in the scriptures? He always seemed to have the right thing to do. And he was also, you know, he was basically persecuted for doing the right thing. And we in our own lives, when we try to do the right thing, we're going to face persecution. Remember, patience. We talked about that to start with. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. And Paul talks about suffering for Christ. You know, that's not a bad thing. It's going to be part of our Christian experience. So do the right thing, just as Joseph did. He was an impeccable doer, and because he was an impeccable doer, first of all, his father trusted him to go out and check on the flocks and check on the sons and to go do various things. And then, of course, when he was thrown in the pit and sold as a slave and put in Potiphar's house, he was an impeccable doer, so that he was promoted. And they kept more and more, you know, you got everything now. Take care of everything, Joseph. You're doing fine. Your God is with you. And, of course, you know, he was lied about. But in prison, once again, he's doing the best he can. He was impeccably doing what he had to do, the duties. And he was promoted again. Take care of everything here, Joseph. You got it. You know, God had his hand upon Joseph because he was just doing right, doing well. And we also, in whatever job we find ourselves in, we need to be that impeccable doer. Let that be your ID. Identify with that. And then finally, we of course know Jesus Christ was impeccable in what he did. Perfect, sinless, right? Prophet, priest. Jesus Christ, pure, perfect, spotless Lamb of God, sacrifice for us, and now he is an advocate, interceder for us, our high priest. You know? And then we have Joseph, later in his life, also acting as a priest. He interceded for his own family.
Right.
You see, what happened with Joseph, because he was a man of integrity, that led to opportunities in his life where he could intercede for his family and say, King, I'd like to bring my family in here, all 70 of them. Grew to a nation of what, 2 million, something like that? 600,000, we talked about last Sunday. And then finally, as I was saying, prophet, priest, king. You think, was Joseph a king? He was pretty high. He eventually moved up to second in command, right? He was right there, kind of under the wings of the Pharaoh. Who is higher in all the world than Pharaoh? Nobody, except God. He is right there with... That was a king of kings on the earth at that time. And he had the opportunity to be very close, very powerful. So as his ID, he would be right there working with not divinity, but a very high power. You know, you think about that. It's like a picture. You know, you think of Pharaoh. He's almost like a picture of the King of Kings, of God. And in a sense, Joseph was very close to that highest power. But of course, we're just looking at him as a picture now. He had faith in his God, because when he did not disobey God's commandment there with Potiphar's wife, he said, "I will not sin against God." He had that relationship with God. He knew sin was against God. But yet in this picture of Joseph as second, he was like a king himself. You know, the scriptures say in Revelation 1:6 that God will make us to be kings and priests with him. You know that we can see priests. Well, right now, we have a ministry of reconciliation as priests. You know that each one of you have a ministry. And you are priests already in a place of service. But kings, well, we don't quite see that yet. Ruling and reigning with Christ. You know, it says in Timothy that if we suffer, and the context is suffer for Christ, we will reign with him. So that patience I mentioned there, you know, Joseph with the suffering, we all have to go through tribulation and suffering in different ways. When that's a suffering for Christ, we're going to be ruling and reigning with him. Amen. He wants us to be that way with him. He was a I got to look at my paper here for this. I'm having a hard time remembering. That's why, invincible. He was an invincible defender. That's what I was trying to think of. As King of Kings there, invincible defender. Our Lord is called King of the Jews back there in Matthew. Of course, the dispensation wasn't quite right. He wasn't coming at that time. There weren't things that were in place. He was coming the first time as a sacrificial lamb. But it says in Revelation that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It also says that we are going to not only rule and reign with him, but he says that we're going to come back with him when he comes back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he has some nice words to say about us, such as faithful. There's a few different titles he gives us. But the point is, Joseph's identity mirrors the identities that Christ had, prophet, priest, king. And we too need to fulfill that identity ourselves as prophet, priest, kings. You know, the different responsibilities we have now, fathers really have a real close picture there. As fathers, you are kings of the castle in a sense. How are you ruling? How are you reigning there? Or how about this one? Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, the yield of your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto him, unto God. You know, are we subservient to sin? I hope not. I hope we're ruling and reigning with Christ and able to be above those things that would want to take us down, destroy us. Well, that's the way I wanted to present this tonight. With the short time, it was perfect. So I want you to think, with what I said, who do you identify as? Who do you identify with? What's your identity when somebody says, "Tell me about yourself"? Probably going to give an answer what they're looking to hear. It's like, "Yeah, I can do this type of job. I'll tell you about my description." Thinking about inside of yourself, who are you? As new creatures in Christ, we have to see ourselves as that new creature. You know, we don't want to see ourselves as the old man. You have desires and things that you really like. And you got to think, is that my old man or my new man? Kind of weigh him, you know, look him over, compare things. There's a lot more I could cover, but I think it's a good time just to say, think on those things. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen.